Salutations, Mets fans, and welcome to our Game 3 NLDS recap here on Amazing Avenue Audio. It's not really a recap yet because we're in the eighth inning here at Citi Field. I'm your host, Jeffrey Paternostro, and with me, somewhere in the bowels of the Caesars Club, is Chris McShane.
Hello. It's good to be back.
So the Mets are currently up 13-4 now, I think, after Curtis Granderson's double that Carl Crawford didn't exactly know where the ball was going, as far as I could tell. But it's been a crazy night here at Citi Field that started right around 8:07 when the Dodgers introductions kicked off. It got a little crazy here.
Yeah. I mean, it was the chants from the booing was good. I had wondered earlier today how long the PA announcer here at Citi Field would let it go on, and he did. He let it draw out. And the mix of, you know, Utley sucks, which is not the most creative chant in the world, but still good. That and then all game, the we want Utley. Every time there was a lull and every time the Dodgers used anyone other than Utley.
Anytime they threw vaguely inside.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, that it's been good. It's been a raucous crowd, as expected.
I will say my favorite image of the night that I saw on Twitter while I was charging my phone in the press box was Matt Reynolds carrying Ruben Tejada out to the field piggyback style.
I didn't see that from my seat.
Yeah, that's how they got him out there, I guess. And you have Tejada coming out with a Mets branded cane to like a ridiculous ovation. You just kind of feel it in the air that it was going to be a special night. And then Matt Harvey immediately gave up 3 runs.
Right. Yeah. It was the second inning, so there's plenty of time to come back from it and everything. But for a few minutes, there was probably a little bit of a little Panic City visit.
And Harvey did not have it tonight. The fastball especially was missing to both sides of the plate. The top end velocity wasn't there. The changeup was good. He had the slider. The curve was a mess. But, you know, Brett Anderson.
Yeah. Brett Anderson and Alex Wood, for that matter. as Terry Collins brought up in his pregame press conference, you know, Clayton Kershaw on short rest and Alex Wood are very different opposing pitchers.
Yes, he used a word I couldn't repeat in an unprintable word to describe his feelings on being asked that question. He would prefer Alex Wood or Clayton Kershaw on short rest. So after that, you know, you watched the game, I'm sure. Curtis Granderson's bases clearing double, but the Mets up 4-3 and they never looked back. Travis d'Arnaud hit an absolute bomb. Jonas Cespedes hit an absolute bomb. Now, you were out there for both those, Chris. What was the atmosphere like in the stadium?
I mean, it was everything you would expect it to be, especially on the Cespedes one, where it was just, you know, d'Arnaud's home run came at a time when it gave them a comfortable lead. Cespedes really ended the game with his. And, people... people have waited a very long time for the opportunity to be here for this and do this. And, my seat tonight was in the 300 level. And you're sort of like right in between the field level and the upper deck there. And you could see that everybody was going nuts. My seat specifically is in an aisle row sort of near the back of the section. And we still had that experience of people, people high-fiving each other, all that sort of thing. But I imagine if you were in the middle of a row in the promenade, it was even better. Because it was just, that Cespedes home run looked like it was out of the home run derby when he was here. And it happened in a playoff game.
He went down the first base line like he was in the home run derby, too. Full swing, backed up a couple steps. And you're right, I think the crowd has been waiting for this just for so long, to get a little bit of sort of the playoff atmosphere at Shea, the stadium shaking. It's just nice to see. And, you know, look, the series isn't over yet. Right. They got to beat one of Kershaw and Greinke the next 2 days. Even with Kershaw on short rest, he's a little scary. And even if it's only for 80 or 90 pitches tomorrow. And we don't know what we're going to get from Steven Matz, although Steven Matz is a motherfucker. this is a new, you know, it's another level, another... You know, it's not the Stanley League playoffs. It's not the Eastern League playoffs. This is the big time.
Yeah. And the early returns on Citi Field are the upper deck doesn't shake. Now, I don't know if there just hasn't been a moment for that yet, but, you know, being at Shea in 2006, where you saw the upper deck sway, which, you know, that's just designed to do, but still, you're sitting in the upper deck as it moves up and down. It's a little bit freaky. So far, I didn't see any beams moving here at Citi Field.
Oh, so there was one disappointing thing about this evening, Chris. Right, that is that? Bartolo Colon was denied an opportunity to hit a playoff grand slam.
Yeah. At the point the game was at, that would have been nice to see. I would have taken a Bartolo Colon bases loaded helmet fall off, you know. And people have seen it, but just on the national stage, you know, at the end of a four-game day of baseball, a holiday, you know, a game that with Utley and his terrible, terrible slide, a lot of people were probably paying attention to coming in. Yeah, it would have been nice for America to see Bartolo Colon do his thing.
And I think even if Bartolo Colon, like, made contact in that situation, yeah, the crowd noise would have rivaled that of Cespedes' homer.
Yeah, fair assessment.
Funnily enough, and I didn't think about this until it was pointed out to me by our mutual friend, the Hate Man, they brought in J.P. Howell there to face Michael Conforto and Curtis Granderson, which makes sense. They're both lefties until you think about you're giving them a look at J.P. Howell before a potential bigger situation tomorrow.
Yeah, that's that's a good point, and I think with Utley, people have been, obviously the chant has been, we want Utley, but if you're the Dodgers and you know he's going to get hit by a pitch, you might as well wait for the game you have a chance to win as opposed to this one. I think this will hold up from recording time to posting time. Chase Utley is not playing in this game.
No, it doesn't look like it. So I guess we can touch on that briefly because the last we recorded, it was mostly me spewing profanity at 1 in the morning about the situation. I calmed down a little bit and wrote something for Baseball Prospectus about it. But, you know, he was suspended for 2 games, pending appeal, so he's eligible to play the next few games. I mean, is the suspension a thing that is fair? Is something that should be upheld, given there's really no precedent for it?
I mean, I'm biased, so the lack of precedent is probably a valid point. But I don't know. For me, if this is a point in time that they say, "Hey, this sort of thing isn't acceptable," if that foreshadows a change in what you can and cannot do, sliding into second base, I'm okay with this becoming the precedent. So I'm not. I can't be objective.
No, and I think it probably will get overruled on appeal. I mean, it's very much for show. But I think there is a certain amount of, it was not just like a bad slide. It was like probably like a 95th percentile bad slide.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and at this point, not only would it be not surprising if he doesn't get in tonight, but even tomorrow, you know. Mats is starting. Obviously, Utley is a left-handed hitter. You know, if that game doesn't present an opportunity for a lefty to do some damage, I could see him at least not playing until a potential game 5 and, you know, maybe just not playing in the rest of the series.
And really, would he be the first option there, given that someone like maybe Peterson and maybe Ethier won't be starting tomorrow?
Right, yeah. I think one of my favorite parts of tonight's game was that they had to burn Peterson so early. You know, not that it wound up mattering the way the score went, but, you know, there was no chance of Jock coming up and hitting a home run late in the game. Oh, why?
Yeah, they're not even out in the... It's the top of the... Oh, yeah, I can hear it now, yeah. It's a heady night here at Citi Field.
Yes.
Little extra color to the broadcast for this one.
Yes.
Yeah, so how are we feeling going into Game 4? Obviously, it's tough to not feel good about it given what's going on.
I think you alluded to it a little bit. It's not so much that you expect Kershaw to be terrible on short rest, it's if he is limited, you know, in his pitch count. I'm feeling pretty good, you know, seeing the Dodgers bullpen actually get out there for a little while, that's been encouraging.
It's not a good